Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back here on the Film Guy Network for a loaded local hour. We got an absolutely slam-packed one for you. Went and saw Keamon Spell, the five-star running back commit yesterday. He was down here in Gainesville, Georgia. I froze my backside off just for this eval for you guys. Maybe we give you a future five-star 14-year-old quarterback eval. I don't know. Might do that. I don't know if he's going to be a future five-star either. Draft evals for all dogs tonight. Top draft selections for next year. We might get to that. And what did the misses do? I think it's a good segment. Spoke to some sources inside the building. I put a list together of 2024 high school recruits that I felt like Georgia missed on. These were guys they actively recruited that they lost and that went elsewhere. I had the boys run down their two-year career so far. We're going to see what comes out of that. I like to do that sometimes with former recruiting storylines and just, I don't know, see what pops out. Anything obvious? Like just,
there's a noticeable trend.
You notice a trend?
There's
okay.
A big trend.
There's a noticeable trend, so says Christian and Jonathan's research of the quote-unquote misses. Let's start with one of the lands. All right, and land a like button on this video if you haven't already. Let's start with the lands, and that is Keamon Spell, the five-star running back out of Pennsylvania, was down here in Gainesville, Georgia this weekend, about 30 minutes up the road, about 10 minutes from old stretch over there. Yeah. And he was playing 7-on-7 for a team called Cash Cow.
Oh, lovely. I wonder what that means.
Oh, they're getting that bread. The team Cash Cow, I watched him play two games, and I got a great in-person eval on Keamon Spell. Let's start first and foremost with the tape. We know the football tape. We've watched the football tape. The football tape around here is absolutely paramount, and this football tape is nuts. This tape is explosive. This tape is real. I went and watched him play 7-on-7, which is not real football. We know this, especially for a guy who's going to play running back in college. It's not real football. However, you can see the obvious things, right? The things that people tell you about athletes in layman's terms. He is an insane athlete in the layman's terms. He's really, really fast. He's really, really smooth. He can jump really high. He's got great hands. He's got elite spatial awareness. That's a nerdy one. Those ones at the top, those are the obvious, right? Every five-star's got those at the skill positions. But here's what I was most impressed by, and here's why I go watch these things even when they seemingly don't matter. On offense, he's playing running back when they need a running back, but he's mostly playing X. And when they need their slot to be good, he's playing in the slot. And on defense, he's playing safety. And on defense, the next possession, he's playing linebacker. And on the defense, the next possession, he's playing corner. And this is what I really, really love about doing my job is when you find people who obviously are meant and placed on this earth to play football. This one is. Because it's like breathing to him. It was like, oh, I'm just here, so I'm just going to do what I need to do. And also, like, we're a running back playing corner, safety, and linebacker in a 7-on-7 game that most people don't care about. I don't really care about. But playing zone, playing man, playing mixed match coverages a little bit, showing some little different looks, okay, and knowing what to do at three separate positions. Mm-hmm. That's, for a running back high school football player, not par for the course, okay, not par for the course to know the corner's responsibilities in cover two and then go flip and say, okay, well, now I'm going to play the short side safety in cover one. All right, the next possession, I'm the mid-hook hole player in cover four. Like, those are – that's a football brain going on right there. I enjoy watching those things. Here's what my notes say. He's a football player with high IQ and a high talent floor, and that goes a long way. If you're a high IQ football player who obviously breathes football and you have a high talent floor, you're going to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be really, really good. Also, like, yeah, obviously good teammate. There's some 7-on-7 stuff going on that I don't – every time I go out to 7-on-7, I'm like, oh, that's why I don't come to these things all that often anymore. I wish that stuff would stop, but, you know, there is one 7-on-7 coach I thoroughly enjoy, and I'm going to take my time because every time I go watch him, I appreciate him. You will never hear me ever say one cross word about Cam Newton. And I know we're a local hour Georgia guy. You'll love this Auburn guy.
Oh, come on.
not a single cross word ever said on this platform about that guy. Because, I mean, not only does he spend like $250,000 every year funding all this 7-on-7 stuff out of his own pocket and out of his own dime, flying those kids in and out, traveling everywhere, going to camps, going to colleges, doing everything out of the goodness of his own heart. He's an actual football coach. He actually coaches. That's what I appreciate about him. Every time I watch one of these 7-on-7s, the damn guy that holds the iPad that shows them the play sits behind the quarterback and he's like, throw the post. What the hell? Why are you throwing post? Not Cam. Cam just calls the play, sits back, and then in between games, they're watching film over there. Watching film, breaking it down. Okay, so, and coaching, actually coaching. I appreciate that about him. But yeah, Keemon Spell, he going to be one of them ones.
Good as advertised, huh?
For sure. And I don't think players who are out here able to be bought are shutting stuff down like he did.
Yeah, he's done some interesting things already. Like, canceled all of his visits, correct, I think is what he said.
Dude, canceled them all, ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I had a source tell me that, like, he's going to be down here so much, they honestly thought financially it might make sense to just move.
Oh. Like, play high school football?
I don't know.
Huh.
But just, he's going to be down here this spring so often that they feel like Georgia residents is what it feels like. So I don't think this kid. By the way, we're in hopes to get him on this network. I would have interviewed him yesterday, but there was some 7-on-7 stuff going on, like I mentioned. I'm gonna ask him this if he ends up coming on the show like he said he would. I wholeheartedly believe if James Franklin's not fired, we're not even in this discussion. I think this kid's a loyalist at heart. I think when he decides what he wants, that's what he wants, and it ain't nothing pushing him off of it.
And also, and this has nothing to do with Keemon Spell, I think positions like running back and wide receiver might be less enticeable than, of course, the quarterback position. Because with the quarterback, there's the promise of you'll be our star, you're starting freshman year, and of course money, which any position can get. But I feel like at running back, you're harder to advertise of, or there's less incentive to be like, oh, you're our guy when you get here day one, because – freshmen can get carries. Like, it's not the option of there's only one quarterback that's on the field at a time. Like, teams cycle 2 to 3 running backs. So, it's harder to sway players at those positions, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Of, like, typically, there's a natural transition typically for running backs. Like, even if you're really good as a freshman, odds are you're going to work your way into the mix with veteran guys ahead of you. And then eventually the spotlight opens up for you to be the guy where it's not – and also, like – whole lot easier to play multiple running backs than it is a quarterback where it's, hey, there's one guy out there on the field and he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I worry so much about recruiting high school quarterbacks nowadays because once you get them there, if they don't play and play well immediately, like, you have to re-recruit them every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for guys like, I mean, there are certain examples. Like, I don't think Puglisi ever had to be re-recruited to stay at the University of Georgia.
Doesn't sound like it.
There are certain guys, and I think at that position, at quarterback, it's important to identify guys that realize if I'm not good enough to play here, then the answer is I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Those are the guys you need to find. Mm-hmm. They are hell-bent on playing in the NFL, but also realize that if I can't beat out a college quarterback at the University of Georgia, then I'm not one of the 32 best, and I might not ever be unless I can beat this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's rare to find that mentality,
sure
though.
Sure is.
Because some of these guys think they can just play their way into it.
Just need chance.
No, I just need playing time. Yep. I'm good enough. I just need playing time. Mm-hmm. That's what most of the opinions are. And I do understand some of that route in terms of, like, getting the reps up and getting the development and making sure that we're good years 2 and 3 and 4. I've also seen it go the other way, where we play at a young age and we stunt our growth because everything around us isn't good enough or we're not ready. And we go through growing pains that up until that point in our career, we'd never seen. Some of these guys come to college and have never failed athletically, ever. And that's very hard to, you know, absorb at 19 years old. All right, so that was the That was the Keemon Spell eval.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot more. Y'all want all these other evals?
Let's hear all the evals.
I've got 10 of them. All right, let's pull them up. I'm going to go in order in which I think I would draft these football players, not in the order in which I think they will be drafted. That make sense?
Okay.
All right.
So I'm going to give you pros, cons, a comp, and a reality comp.
Okay.
A high comp, a low comp, and what the reality of the player I think is going to be. You ready?
Yep.
Let's start with Moreau Freeling. I think he's going to be a top 20, maybe top 15 pick by the time all is said and done. Let's start with the pros. 6'7", 320-pound frame that has little to no bad weight on it. Could honestly play at 335 with a breeze. It might need to. We're going to talk about that in the cons section. Ankle, hip, and knee bend are superb. He plays with an uncommonly flat back with the ability to bring his hips and feet back up underneath him at all times. If you've watched Monroe over the years, and if you've watched NFL Draft Twitter, you will find clips of him playing chest over toes, or as we call it, nose over toes. We say that is the no-nos. I was about to say the anti-you-know-what. That is the no-no in the offensive line world, unless you're a twitched-up athletic freak that can bring his feet and his hips back up underneath him in order to avoid falling over. He does that really, really well for a player that's as big and as long as he is. Plays with a tremendous amount of fluidity and space in the screen game and has a high motor to finish. Turn on that Sugar Bowl game. He is playing with his hair on fire. Mm-hmm. All right, and most of his career, he did exactly that. It's my favorite note about him. The Yogi pedigree shows up in lower body mobility.
Hmm.
The Yogi, like Yogi Bear?
Oh, so you don't know. Mama's certified yogi.
Oh.
Mama's a yogi master.
Can we just say yoga?
No. She's a yogi.
Can we just say yoga?
Jonathan, she teaches yoga. She's a yogi.
Is that
plural yoga?
Is that a thing? Or is this
yes,
a
you are. If you are the teacher in a yoga class, you are the yogi.
I thought it was just yoga instructor.
I've never heard it called yogi. Okay, for people that are unaware and uneducated in the yoga universe,
Mama is a yogi or yoga.
All right.
But yeah, it shows up. I mean, we have tremendous ankle dexterity, most importantly. Okay, we can really bend in the hinges, if you will. Length paired with twitch in the feet make for a high-end pass protector on the left side. All right, those are all the pros. You ready for the cons?
Uh-oh.
Tends to play overextended in both the run and pass. You will find him nose over toes due to over-aggression and a lack of known anchor, okay? If you've played offensive line, this will resonate with you. The only reason, in my opinion, that we play chest over toes or nose over toes, we play, or in other words, overextended, is because we do not have trust in our ability to engage our hips and then move that player or hold that player against his will. We feel like we have to play with our lean. We feel like we have to play with our nose and our screws. And in reality, if we just got stronger, or in his case, I think a little bit heavier, we might not need those things. So there is that. You ready for the comp?
Yep.
High-end comp. Layup, Joe Alt. It's going to get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he runs anything close to a 1.78 10 split in the 40, Daniel Jeremiah will pull that right up. Mm-hmm. It will just be right there with him, and he'll say something along the lines of, I'm not saying he is this, but the profile says he is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, the low end. And doing these comps, I realized, good Lord, I am detached from NFL football. I had to find me a 6'7" offensive tackle that's just okay. And I found Walker Little, the tackle out of Stanford. He spent spent 5 years with the Jags. And he's okay.
Yeah.
He's just okay. I think the reality, however, of this situation with Monroe is that I think there's an 85% chance he will be a top 32 tackle in the league for 8 years and play 12.
Yeah.
I think that's what we got going on right here.
And that's why I was going to say, like, now these guys aren't the same pedigree, if you will. Like, this guy's about 2 inches shorter, and I want to say this guy's heavier than Monroe is. But this is kind of the way that I see Monroe's career going, of like Jake Matthews with the Falcons,
mm-hmm.
where he's been the starter and played, I think he has the record right, or not the record, but he has played the most consecutive games at left tackle for the Atlanta Falcons out of anybody in the league.
Oh, and he's going to make about $150 million.
Yeah, he's just going to play a long time. He's always going to be good. Like, it's never going to be a sour spot on the offensive line.
It's a good
line.
Comp. He's very clean.
Now, again, two different profiles, but, yeah, just a very clean football player.
I was thinking of the low end of that. I was thinking, who's my man that the Bengals drafted out of Alabama several years ago? Played left to Jonah Williams. Mm. I was thinking, but he's only like 6'5".
Yeah.
I can tell you who the Raiders drafted out of Alabama at the tackle position.
That was Leatherwood, right?
Yep.
His eyes are dead over there. We got to get camera four a little bit tighter on you when you do that. That was good acting right there. Oh, thanks, wait, man. You actually are dead inside.
No, I'm not acting. Don't worry.
This is not a shill. On to C.J. Allen, who, yeah, Kristen Miller might be drafted before him. Zachariah Branch might be drafted before him. I don't know. You think C.J. Allen goes second?
Out of Georgia players?
Yeah. We think Monroe goes one. There's clear cut.
There's a possibility, honestly.
Yeah. We'll see.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, a monstrous combine, and who knows? Like, the evaluations are going to change so much in the next week and a half that who knows?
CJ's just in one of those positions, too, where, like, this happens to be a really loaded group of linebackers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, it's just one of those unfortunate situations.
A natural nose for the ball carrier. He will find the rock and is a sure tackler. Elite play recognition skills is the true leader of a defense from an IQ standpoint. Assignment, alignment, and execution rates are sky high with this football player. No fear of taking on blockers in the box. Can button press and avoid if need be. There are two ways to approach an oncoming offensive lineman or blocker. When space is tight and condensed, we have to use the two screws on the top of our helmet and do what we call button press. We got to butt him with our head, press him out, find the ball carrier, peek and shed. All right. Then there's avoidance of the block entirely. And we have to play with our spatial awareness cues right there in order to choose which one of those we do. If an offensive lineman free releases and walks up to me unavoided or unevaded, I have to make him miss and avoid him, restack my gap, and make a play. He can do both, all right? And very rarely nowadays do I find linebackers who can, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I find a lot of linebackers doing a ton of avoidance. And it's not my cup of tea. I'm a guy who is – born and bred off button and pressing and two gap and gap assignment football and alignment football. I do see the pros to a team that's all block avoidance. It's just not my bag. I don't think it's the preferred method for the NFL either. They want guys that can stand in the box, see a 330-pound pounder coming at them and strike them in the chest and then shed the block. This kid can do that. Consistent player with no down days on tape or as a person. Mm-hmm. Played through injury. Mm-hmm. And I add this because Kirby talks about it ad nauseum, and I think it's important. They need guys that they know can play 16. That's what they need. And this guy has done everything but play through a damn torn hamstring before.
And I think it's worth noting that sometimes when you watch tape of these guys, you go, he's clearly not himself. We didn't really say that about C.J. Allen at all this season until it was, oh, wow, he's hit another gear once he finally started getting healthy. It was never – guys, I don't think C.J. Allen's fully there right now. Yeah. Like, he's definitely battling something.
It's a great point, Christian, because I don't even think until after he won like linebacker of the week or defender of the week that Kirby revealed that he'd been hobbled with a hamstring tightness.
Right.
So that's a great point there. Here's a pro for him. Quote, what if we miss on the next N'Kobe Dean? I think there's a lot of NFL organizations that watched N'Kobe this last year and a half and were like, damn it.
That stupid damn shoulder, we let it get to us.
Peck. Not even a shoulder. Yeah, peck.
That's what it was.
Peck and a presumed slow 40. And we're like, hey, we're not going to draft the Butkus Award winner. Yeah, he's only 5'11".
No, never.
And we think he might only run 4.78. Let's just not draft. Let's let him go third round to the Eagles. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
One team that probably we shouldn't let draft him, we let draft him.
And he looks like he might – I again, don't watch a lot of NFL football, but I follow the
he's
dogs.
He's dealt with some injuries. He's had to miss some time. But when he's on the field, he's really
but
good.
Aren't they shaping up for him to be the future of the room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Him and Jihad?
Yes.
Okay. Explosive athlete went downhill and sideline to sideline. You notice what I avoided right there.
Explosive athlete downhill, sideline to sideline, pass coverage?
Yeah, I don't know how well we turn and run, which goes up to my next point, which are the cons. We're not 6'3", we're not 240 pounds. We're only 6'1", we're only 235.
Really?
And it's plenty big, but it's not I got to draft you first round big, which some of these guys are.
And like going to the point that you're making, like really the only play where I can think of in my mind that I can think like, oh, CJ Allen got there was 2024 Alabama when they hit him with a wheel route and he could not keep up with Jam Miller and it was a wide open touchdown.
So that's what part of my notes say right here. He covers with instincts, not with raw traits in space.
Yeah.
Like if he had raw traits in that moment, on the road at Alabama, we'd have flipped our hips. We'd have had some recovery speed. We'd have got in the mix.
Right.
The next time they run that, he jumps the shit out of it because he plays with tremendous instincts and covers with tremendous instincts. I do think he's slightly tight-hipped, though.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know I'm a big knee drive guy. I mean, we pause so much film looking at where our knee actually rises in our stride pattern, and we're relatively tight-hipped, and we can see that in our, I'm not going to say inability to turn and run, but we do not turn, run, cover ground, flip our hips, settle as well as some of these other guys in this draft.
That's fair.
So, the Rodriguez kid is so fluid in everything that he does. York, I know he's small, but he's fluid in everything that he does. Anthony Hill is much bigger and much more fluid in the other stuff that the game requires you to do nowadays.
Right.
It's going to be the combine that will be what determines whether or not he is a first-round pick or a mid-tier second-round pick because of those drills, like you said, turning and running. That's going to be, I think, what's his most important. Like, the 40 time is the 40 time.
Honestly, I think he's going to be fast.
Yeah, he'll be fast. I think what's going to be most important for him, because like you said, you have evals on him. I guarantee 32 NFL scouting departments have done the same thing. Say he might be tight hip, turning and running might be a concern. That drill where they have him basically run the star is going to be the most important for him.
All right, here comes the comps. I think he's the exact middle ground between Roquan Smith and N'Kobe Dean from a physical standpoint. I think he has some of the stiffness that N'Kobe plays with. I think he's like 85% the physical athlete that Roquan is. And I think, honestly, he's like 85% of the football human cerebral savant that N'Kobe is. I told the boys before the show, CJ Allen is very much so a watch how I work, everybody watch what I do, and then go do it. N'Kobe is going to grab you by the face mask, tell you how it's done, and then make you watch how he does it. I think that's the difference. That's the last 15% of that. I think the reality for what C.J. Allen's career is going to be is he's going to be the leader of your defense by year three, and he'll be the leader of your defensive organization by year five.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What a bad outlook.
Yeah, no. I think you'd be goofy not to draft that, especially when this linebacker start flying off the board. He better be the one you grab, too, after these higher-valued draft players are off the board. Coming up next, a fan favorite. Hometown Film Guy Network savant and aficionado, Kristen Miller, defensive tackle. Here come the pros. Fundamental freak. Takes clear pride in playing with the technique required and doing so correctly. And the way he does that is through block awareness. This kid prepares his body for the impending contact better than most. We spent the first 4 or 5 weeks watching him in slow-mo and watching him fire off the ball, realize there's double teams coming. We're already getting skinny and dropping to a knee before contact even arises. And then we stalemate the double team and we split it and we make a TFL. That type of stuff is all over the tape. We realize down blocks coming and we see backside guard pulling. So now we're going to fight across the face of the down block because we know – here comes counter. The dude's football intellect and football awareness is obvious on tape. And what's really surprising from a guy who's 6'4" is he's a pad level winner. I don't know about you guys. I can't find a single clip or remember a single clip of Kristen Miller getting his shit jacked up.
No.
Of somebody up underneath his chin strap and winning because, we're playing too high.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, we're a 6'4" football player. That's really impressive. I will say this. I don't think his hands are as violent or as powerful as they are crafty.
Yeah.
I've never seen a bad pad level. I've never seen a moment where I felt like we exploded someone's chest because we just struck them so hard.
Yeah. I don't want to give the comp too quickly, so you go ahead and finish the
I guarantee you my comps are nowhere near yours.
Well, go ahead. You can just do yours.
Because I'm off the wall. A down-to-down winner that has very few low lights in his tape and profile now over 2 years of starting tape.
I like it.
He wins with acquired skills, not raw strength.
Yeah.
A tremendous joy to be around, if that matters to you. If you like coming to work, if you like spending time around people who are good people and bring a joy to the room, this is one of those ones. It's just rare that they end up on the defensive line. Normally those guys are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've said this about all the players so far. Like, can't ever remember a bad game from Christian Miller. Mm-hmm. Over his entire career, can't ever remember coming in to watch film on the next day and being like, ooh, not 52's best game day. Like, it was always just really solid football. And then there are other times where it's like, God dang, that guy was the best player on the field.
And here's my cons for him. Not exactly a flash player at a position that almost puts a premium on flash plays nowadays.
Yes.
If you're a D tackle that's average 90% of the snaps, but those 10% of the snaps you show, oh my God, he might be the next 9-sack D tackle, you're going to get paid $100 million. You just are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he has those moments. In fact, I don't think he does. I just think he's a good high-floor football player that doesn't get looked at like a premier player because he doesn't have these flashes. Right. But who cares if I'm great 95% of the snaps?
And this is where I came up to my comp. And it's not a player comp per se, but if you took the sum of all of Jalen Carter's plays and you average out every great play and every low play, I think the average of that would be what Christian Miller is. Because for as many, oh my God, Jalen Carter just killed a double team and made a 5-yard tackle for loss, there was a, he's very clearly taking this play off.
Oh,
he's
dude, Jalen to this day is still very selective with his effort.
Yes.
He's like, oh, it's 3rd and 2? Punt. You know?
Right.
Like that's what he's like.
Yeah. But again, like, Christian is not going to be this where it's going to be like some plays like, oh my God, why can't you do this every play? But it's also never going to be like, oh, that guy's definitely loafing right now or taking the playoff or he's getting his ass kicked. He's just going through the motions.
Still feel like there are moments where we have to learn how to finish. There were too many times, especially this last year, where an all-out like mad rush to the quarterback, I'm trying to get home and get a sack, ultimately just ends up into – oh, shit, we just flushed the quarterback out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. We rarely ever broke down. We rarely brought ourselves to balance. And we couldn't finish because of that reason. We're almost like a little kid. We're just too excited back there. We just got to breathe, baby. We got to finish back there. Comp. Could he be Christian Barmore?
Hmm. Oh,
okay.
He could, yeah.
Now, here's what kind of pushed me off of this comp. Barmore had 8 sacks, his last year at Alabama. But I kept going back to these NFL, like, high-quality defensive tackles that Alabama spit out for a decade, I felt like. This is what this is. Yeah. I feel like this is a high-quality NFL starter. The low end of the player comp for me is any rotational 3-tech you've got in the league. Like anybody that plays 12 to 15 snaps a game. Mm-hmm. I think the reality for Christian is that he's going to give you 35 snaps of high-quality football per game until you inevitably have to extend him because the free agent market gives you nothing better.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very solid, fair comp for him.
Let's move on to Zachariah Branch. The rare combination of twitchy and fast.
Mm-hmm.
The difference. I think of twitch as short area explosiveness. All right, I think of fast as long speed, okay? He's the rare combination of a person who has both. He has the ability to, I think, set the NFL record in the 5-10-5 while also running 4-3-8 or 4-3-4 sub, something like that, while also being a sub-10-5 guy in the 100 meter. We just don't have those types of body types very often. You either are good 20 to 60 or you're good 0 to 20. Very rarely are you great at both. He is. He's extremely tough to tackle, but from both a missability standpoint, and his contact balance was something I didn't really know. Like, I knew you could make somebody look stupid. I knew we could kind of run away from people. What I didn't know is that we were going to take full blows to the midsection, just kind of pinball 2 yards to the side, catch our feet again, and reaccelerate. Mm-hmm. That I was unaware of. We have tremendous contact balance. we're really, really hard to hit, and we're condensed, and we have a small strike zone. That's hard to tackle. I can't really get a hand on you, and to hit you in your midsection, which if you've ever heard anything about whether it be guarding somebody in basketball or tackling someone in football, the only thing that don't move is his belly button, right? Well, what if his midsection is like that? What if his strike zone is like that? And it's doing this. I can't hit him. That's what happens all the time on tape. Another pro for him, he's an extension of the run game demon because of all of this. He will stretch your run game sideline to sideline.
Mm-hmm.
If you draft this guy, you're immediately making people defend the run game 53 yards. That's what you're doing. Because of those, you know, let's just get him the ball now, see what he does. He's going to make 5 yards, and then boom, second and five. That's just as efficient and honestly a little bit more ideal than let's line up in the eye, run ISO for 5 yards, and end up in second and five. It's just as efficient and better for your long-term health of your organization, if we're being honest. Sure-handed when the ball is placed on him. That's the important part. It's got to be, I think, put on his frame, which we're going to talk about here in a second. It's not all that big. I think he showed a willingness, keyword willingness, to block in attached formations. And again, don't watch a ton of NFL football, but every time I turn it on, Jonathan, and you guys watch a lot more of it, everybody's bunching, everybody's in condensed sets, everybody's got trip stack bunch right inside the box.
Oh, yep. For sure.
So you better be able to go hit a 240-pound MF-er in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
or at least be willing to do so. He's willing to do so. I don't know if we can execute it, which goes to my cons. Limited catch radius.
Yep.
Very limited. I if I told you we're going to measure in 5'9", 185, 182 pounds,
yeah,
probably right around then or right around there, with relatively short arms.
Yeah.
Like we're not like Zakobi White seems disproportionate. He seems like he got really long arms when you look at him, which helps with these types of catch radius things. I felt like if you watched really, really closely with Zachariah this year, anything over the middle of the field, about midway as the ball was arriving, Zachariah would jump and he'd try to get his belly or his body in front of the ball.
Yep.
Y'all notice this?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is, right?
Well, it's just creating assurance that we're about to catch the ball.
It's that. It's creating assurance, but it's
not trusting your hands.
There you go, Kirby. It's not trusting your hands. Okay. If I've got good natural feel for my hands, if I see a ball at my eyes, I'm just going to pluck it and keep running. If I feel like I got to jump to put that ball in my mid frame of my body work, that's not a good sign, okay? And I saw a lot of that this year, okay? And we got to – I don't know if we can clean it up because I think he led USC in drops the year before. So there's that. Willingness to block does not mean effectiveness to block. I do worry about him being – I mean, what teams don't run the condensed – who's not running Kyle Shanahan's offense?
I'm not
like
that deep in
like a third of the league? Half the league?
Yeah,
most of the league is running under the center wide zone concepts out of like what McVay is doing,
mm-hmm.
what Shanahan's doing, what those guys are, what buddy that's now at Ohio State was doing.
Arthur Smith
was doing it. Okay. Most of the league is doing that, which means we've got to be able to get in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we will. I know we will. I don't know if we can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's that. Comps. On the high end, how about Tavon Austin? Or how about this? This one's better. I like this one a lot better. Just give me the receiving career of Darren Sproles.
That's fair.
Here's the team that should draft Zachariah, honest to God. Give Sean Payton this kid.
Yeah.
See what happens.
No.
AFC West out there shaking in his Ugg boots.
Ugg boots? I do not own a single pair of Ugg
boots. I don't know, Motion Twin. You might. Where are we at?
Motion.
Low end. I hate to do this. Mecole Hardman?
Yeah. I mean,
a guy that has, like, what, guys, what if the inward breaking routes, what if we can't catch football in those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a real possibility of that. I would say that Mecole Hardman is a guy who has consistently been able to earn spots on rosters throughout the year and has been effective. Now, I'm not even going to throw the you know, Super Bowl champion out because that's team luck, but Mecole Hardman has been an extremely effective player throughout a career. He's pushing 7 to 8 years in the league.
Mecole's career at the early part of it would have been much more impactful under the current rules because of the kickoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, at the very least, will create a special teams headache from a preparation standpoint every single week if you draft him.
Yeah, I think what you have to...
Isn't that... Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Isn't that body type of the kickoff return specialist nowadays more built like running back? Like, they're not trying to get the... who was number 12 that played for the Ravens?
Jacoby Jones.
They're not trying to do that no more.
No.
They're trying to get, like, basically a ball carrier back there, not a track athlete.
Correct.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I think that if you're drafting Zachariah Branch, you are looking for someone who can kind of gadgety, be an extension of the run game for you, be a headache on special teams, be an absolute weapon there, and can be the accent that makes your offense that much harder to defend. I don't think anyone's going to look to make the – Zachariah Branch, their focal point of the offense. No. I don't think you can do what, you know, Georgia did with him this year because of, like you said, the size limitations, how the majority of his catches are going to come from at or behind the line of scrimmage. However, if you can accent him with a good X and a strong Z, he becomes a nightmare because then it's not only do we have to worry about the perimeter, we have to also worry about screens and out of the slot type things. And he has shown that he can make deep catches. So it's not like it's a, don't even put that in the playbook for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just, I don't know. If we're 5'11", I'd be all over it. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the size is what it is. We know that. But there's also success stories of that. So, how tall is Xavier Worthy?
Xavier Worthy's like 5'11". There are a lot of success stories.
There's a handful of them.
There's a lot of success stories of 5'9", 182 pounders in the league.
Not a lot, but there's enough to make you say, okay, this could work.
I think he's special enough. I think he works like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is definitely a – like, I would be – I think it would be a mistake if he falls outside of the top three rounds is what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure.
I just don't know if we're like a guaranteed all pro.
Sure.
Getting it. Let's move on to Dalen Everett. Long-limbed, top-end guy with a versatile structure background coming from Georgia. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you come out of that place, I know you can pretty much play everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, whether or not that's your specialty, we'll have to find out. But I know if I draft you, you know how to play whatever structure we got going on. There's no worry about that. NFL big pedigree place. I don't know if you know this, but NFL is. IMG Academy 5-star, goes to Georgia, plays for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's pedigree of all pedigrees. That pedigree is only surpassed by the guy that's going to replace him next year, Ellis Robinson.
Right.
Like, the only way you can have a higher pedigree is if Dalen were the second-ranked player in the country instead of the 32nd-ranked player in the country coming out of high school. I think a lot of people forget this was a 5-star. This is a blue-chip football player coming out of IMG Academy. Has ball production during his college career and limited negatives after a first-year starting and getting picked on opposite of Kamari Lassiter, which is to be expected. I think looking back on his first year as a starter now with hindsight of how great Kamari was makes a whole hell of a lot more sense.
Of course it does, yeah.
To us. Mm-hmm. We say of course, but I had to say that because there were probably some fans on here that thought Dalen sucked.
Oh, there were.
Still do.
There were definitely.
I still think he sucks.
I vividly remember trying to jump, get people off the ledge mid-2023 because it's like, guys, I don't think you understand how good number three is and how number six is doing a very solid job right
guys,
now.
Guys, there's going to be 34 passes thrown today, and ain't none of them going over there to number three, and ain't none of them going anywhere near number 24. So where are we going today? Oh, that guy, he's brand new. That's where it's going.
You know, by the way, they've got a all-SEC nickel as well this time.
Yeah. That was a good unit.
Yeah. Really good secondary.
Good unit.
And Dan Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I think this is important to note. I felt like Dalen had his biggest games versus Georgia's biggest competition.
Yeah, he showed up in big moments.
I mean, absolutely. Had 3 picks against Texas.
Totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a pick against Alabama this year in the SEC Championship game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Had the scoop and score versus Ole Miss.
Had the scoop and score versus Ole Miss. I felt like he... There was a scoop and score versus Ole Miss?
Yeah. There was a fumble.
Sugar Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an idiot. You're right. Yeah.
I remember.
You had the look, too, of like, really?
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember who put a hat on the ball.
I don't remember.
It was Dink.
Yes.
It was Dink.
Yes. Okay.
He won Lacey fumble and Dalen picked it up.
See, it's there. You got to sprinkle it a little bit, and then it's like, Never a vulnerability. I didn't feel like he was ever a vulnerability. Even in his early career, I feel like he was tight in coverage.
Yeah, just get picked on. Never a panicked player. Never shows that. Mm-mm. Never shows the, uh-oh, there's a deep ball being thrown my way. I'm just going to latch on and make sure that he doesn't catch it.
I would call him a willing tackler. I would not put him in the Kamari Lassiter, DeMelo Jones category.
No, I mean, those. I think those guys are like A tier. Like, this is the premier. Like, if you are a tackler, this is what you are. But he's more than willing.
So, we morphed. Oh, let's go do the cons. I think he's a long speed-based corner. I don't absolutely love his redirect ability.
That's fair.
I think he's faster in that 5 to 10 and then 10 to 20 than he is 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that leads for a propensity to get stuck at times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like we've gotten stuck on tape a couple of times.
I was going to say, the change of direction, I think, is probably
COD.
His biggest red flag for me. But it's not horrible.
Kind of, it's not Keely Ringo bad. Let's put it that way.
That's fair.
I feel like Keely, if he ain't in a straight line, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not so much with Daylon, which is what leads me to my comp. We morphed N'Kobe and Roquan earlier. Any guesses on what two Georgia corners I have morphed to create Daylon?
One of
them's
got
to
be Eric Stokes with the speed.
Huh. Speed and the stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
We're pointy. You ever notice that about Daylon?
Yeah.
We're very pointy human beings.
Yes.
Our elbows are pointy. Our knees are pointy. We're pointy.
Are we morphing Tyson and Eric Stokes because Tyson has the size?
That's what I was going to say. I think you're morphing Tyson and Eric Stokes.
Yeah.
Because he does kind of look like Tyson. He's built like Tyson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And kind of moves like Stokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the ball skills of the in between the two.
And two corners that have made a career in the NFL.
I don't know if I'd say, I think he's got better ball skills than Tyson Campbell.
Campbell's got really good ball skills. I don't know if he's got great ball production, but if you go watch him pluck a football, he's got natural hands.
That's fair.
Stokes looks like he's got two frying pans.
I would say Daylon Everett is much more close to Tyson Campbell than Eric Stokes.
That's one of my all-time your box score scouting takes. I exposed so many people with that one.
What, the 2020 season?
No, when I was like, guys, going into the draft process, I was like, guys, Eric Stokes cannot catch the football. And I was like, oh, you got so many picks. Look at all the picks. Like, every single pick of Eric Stokes' career, the ball, he had no choice but to catch it. It literally caught him. It was thrown into his gullet. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to God bless him. He's a great NFL football player. He's a Raider.
Yes,
right?
He is.
Did he play well this year?
Had a good season.
Yeah,
very,
I mean,
very underrated
dude,
season.
Going to be in your hip pocket at all times. Can't catch a cold. Mm-hmm. Just can't do it. It's all right, though. They said at Eastside they just handed him the ball and just said.
I would have too at that speed.
As long as
the other guy's not catching it, who cares?
Captain. Reality, 7-year starter floor. Don't know if he'll ever be a true, quote-unquote, lockdown dude, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
I would be surprised if we look up in 3 years and they talk about Daylon like they now talk about Kamari.
I don't know if that'll be – honestly,
but coming out, I felt that about Kamari.
I think from a career trajectory, I think Tyson Campbell is also a very good comp. Like Tyson Campbell has been looked at as
second team, doing better now.
Solid NFL corner, never going to be the best defender on the field, but also never going to be the worst. Is always just going to be like, does his job well.
Absolutely. Let's move on to Oscar Delp. This seems to be NFL Draft Twitter's love child.
Picking up some steam.
Yeah, dude.
Boy, is he ever.
NFL draft my guys.
Wait till he runs a 40.
He is the prototypical physical specimen at the position. 6'5", 250 pounds. He will run 4.52.
Yep.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the trainers have found a way to make this kid run 4.49 fast. Honest to God, he could make $10 million at the 40 if he runs like I think he could have. If we spent the last 4 months training the 40, Oscar Delp could run a 4.49. Mm-hmm. It's that crazy.
I believe it.
Senior blocking tape showed what coaches spoke about. And when I say coaches, I mean Todd Hartley. Todd Hartley speaks about this guy like he is arguably the best blocking tight end they've ever had. And I wouldn't even say the senior tape showed that, but the senior tape showed this guy's really, really good. This guy's a great blocker, particularly in space. Attaches really, really well to second and third level defenders. And that's the important part. When I'm a 250-pound man going to block a 200-pound corner, I know I'm going to win. I know I'm going to win the physicality battle there. The hard part is getting attached, getting out there and putting my hands on you and unzipping my feet on you. He did such a great job in that. The 12 personnel screen packaging at Georgia this year was so much better than it had been in years prior, and I thought most of that was due to Oscar and obviously Lawson as well. He has strong and dependable hands. I don't think I remember a drop.
No?
I think they were strong and dependable.
He had a drop against Alabama in 2024.
Okay.
Deep ball.
Okay. Here's my cons. I think he's got dependable hands, but I don't think this dude's got a huge catch radius.
Yeah.
He's not one for the acrobatics.
Yeah.
I've never, and I know it's hard to compare him to the other guy, but the other guy had 7 or 8 of them a year. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, yes. My God, he just pulled that off that kid's helmet. Now, Bauer's got a lot of those, it's Brock, yeah. I'm going to just throw this, and then he's going to make that play. And maybe Oscar never got that freedom.
Yeah, I think that there's certainly that aspect of it. He did have
I'm just thinking about all – sorry to cut you off again. There's a ball against Kentucky where we have an opportunity – I think it's 2024. We have an opportunity to kind of back shoulder it. We get one hand on it, and it kind of flutters. There's another – there's several plays. Oh, Auburn touchdown 2024. We're necking up the seam. Carson looks like he misses us by 2 yards on TV copy, but if you look at it in all 22, if we just make a minor adjustment, maybe even lay out, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like I felt like we were not at 6'5", 250 pounds and this Adonis of an athlete. I did not feel like we created as many mismatches or trustable moments as we probably should.
That's definitely fair. I do think he did show that he at least can make those plays. I think back to the 2023 Florida game where he catches that wheel route one-handed over his shoulder. I think it was his first catch of the game. Was the first.
Oh, yeah, his hands kind of pinned to his waist.
Yeah.
Yeah, his hips. Yeah, you're right.
So
okay.
He's got some of them. He's got the ability to do it, but I don't think he did it as frequently as Brock did.
How much of a separator prior to the catch is Oscar Delp? Like, I know we've seen, and we're going to get into this. I know we've seen the clip of him versus Kentucky running away from somebody.
That's going viral.
But how many times did we see that in the route?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Apart from, we out and upped him off fake truck toss and he's naked down the sideline. Like, how many times have you see him getting that?
Oh, no. Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of a con for me. Also, the way you become a security blanket, it's like I got texts all over my phone about, like, why didn't Oscar get used this year at Georgia? He looks like a freak. All those I trust you, all that you're my guy, all that comes in practice. So, and now it might be due to the fact that, well, with the team with Zachariah Branch on it and Colby Young on it, well, then Oscar Delp's not in the equation anymore. We're going to these other two guys. Maybe it's something like that. But if you were a top 45 eval, like some people were talking about this kid, you would get force-fed.
Yeah.
You would get force-fed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we didn't get force-fed at all in our career. And as much of us as I've seen that Kentucky clip, we had 41 grabs the last 2 years. How many yards after catch clips you seen like that one from Kentucky?
Not a ton.
So that's that to me is the thing. It's like,
well, I mean, Oscar is as long as I have known Oscar Delp the player, you're like how satisfied you are with him as a player all has to do with what expectations you set upon him. Like, if you expect Oscar Delp to just be this well-rounded tight end who's going to execute his job, he's going to be a factor sometimes, he's not going to have too many minuses, like he's just a well-rounded football player, you're going to be very pleased with what he does on the football field. If you expect Oscar Delp to be the game-changing tight end, you're going to be disappointed with how he plays.
I think he's going to get drafted like that.
I know, but
– but look, that's –
and
maybe,
that's on their discretion of how they want to view him.
And maybe he can become that. Maybe he gets put in an opportunity to where it's, hey, we think that you are Brock Bowers and we're going to treat you as such and you're going to have to prove us that you're not. So, I mean, he very well could be. The tools are all there. I mean, we all agree that the athleticism, the ability to run, like, it's all there. It might not be as polished and it might not have a ceiling like that, but he could do this.
To me, it's why I think we have a simulation of this career where our player comp ends up being Sam Laporta.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we have a simulation of this career where we end up being Chico Okonkwo, the Tennessee Titans, tight end. Hillgrove's finest, by the way. Who's just a sawed-off version of Oscar, in my opinion. Like, Chico went to the combine and ran 4.49 at 6'3", 238 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So if we run 4.52 at 6'5", 250, we are that.
Yeah.
Just a bigger version of it. I think the reality for Oscar's career is that we are – where do I got it right here? I think you're guaranteed an 8-year career of a high-end or a high-floor football player at the tight end position that has the potential and physical ceiling to be something completely out of this world. Here's my thing. I think the best tight ends in the history of football are extremely spatially cognizant. I think they understand where grass is. I think they understand where people are on my back. I think they understand how to get open. I think they understand how to position their body to make sure the DB's behind them. I don't know if we have all of those. I think that's why – that's the missing key for all of our production questions that I'm going to get asked about this player. Why didn't he produce? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we – we're a former lacrosse player, by the way. We've only been playing tight end for 4 years.
Right.
Because we're a high school wide receiver. Like, I know he was listed as a tight end, and West Forsyth football coaches can tell me what they want. I watched you play. He lined up outside the numbers most of the time because he was your best athlete. So maybe there is tremendous amounts of growth. I see some Dawson Knox stuff.
It's not bad.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
But did Dawson Knox get hurt this year? Something happened? Because he wasn't even in the top 20 receiving yards.
I thought he was one of these guys. I think he got a concussion maybe or something.
I thought Dawson Knox was like a top 7 receiving tight end in the league. Mm-hmm. Is that a good way to put it?
I think
he's a little Dawson Knoxy.
I don't know if he's that high.
That was where my brain initially went.
I think Dawson Knox might just be the perfect comp. Honestly, I mean, it says he played in 17 games this past year, so maybe a little dinged up. He started in 12 of them, but I mean, it's career numbers of 587 yards in a season, 517, 417. That's about the production I would place on a guy like Oscar Dope.
All right, let's talk about Micah Morris. We're going to run long on the local hour tonight. How about that? Micah Morris, the first pro, rotund.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a truly massive human being. Not in height, but in stature. Heavy hands, when he's attached, it's rep over. If this dude puts the paws on you, donezo, you ain't going nowhere. Now, you can call and complain for a hold, but the difference is about this guy, he's so damn strong when he gets his mitts on you, it's like he curls you into his chest, and he'll never hold because he's with inside the chest plate. That's the key. See, even if you try to pull me out of this, I'm right here because I'm so damn strong. That's what this guy is. Heavy hands, rep over when attached. Can swallow up a pass rusher in protection from the interior, no doubt about it. Other pro, because there's just not – they don't roll these out on trees. This guy going to end up playing like 42 games in college. Like that's – he didn't start all those. In fact, I'd say he started only about half of those. But, man, he played a lot of ball in the SEC. Cons. This is a scheme-specific football player to me. We've been talking a lot tonight about the Shanahan tree and what I think is a morphing across the NFL of everybody moving east and west and not really running north and south anymore. That's across football, to be honest with you. I see a lot of teams deciding that it's a lot easier to move people east and west and find the crease that was created in that, a la wide zone or stretch, than it is to move people against their will north and south. However, there are some teams still in the NFL that do this. Baltimore has been one of these football teams for years over year. So there are teams that still do it. He's going to have to go to one of those football teams. If you're a team that, like, and I know they just fired the guy, but if you run that system that Miami was running last year, this ain't your guy to be drafting at the offensive line position. The other con, in my opinion of watching Micah over the years, if he doesn't win within the first three steps. If you don't win within the first three steps of the rep, probably won't win.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, we're going to recover and get our head back on the play side of this rep. Like, if we lose in the first three steps, we've lost. The comp for me is if he wasn't 6'7 and didn't run a magical 4.81, He is the same player Ben Cleveland is to me. I think Ben Cleveland lied to the NFL world when he went out there and ran 4.81. And everybody's like, oh, my God, what is this? Former five-star, played a lot at Georgia. Holy shit, he ran fast in a straight line. But it's like, guys, Ben is not a very – I mean, he's a great linear athlete. Ben Cleveland is not a great lateral mover. Neither is Micah, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
So there's that. Colby Young. The frame is real.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
The frame is real. 6'5". And how about this one? Rare usage of this one. Thick uppers.
Mm. Yes.
Got real thick uppers. If you see this guy in person, I mean, his arms look like they weigh 40 pounds a piece.
Yes, they
got huge arms. Physical after the catch. True X traits with boom potential. Here's the cons. Hasn't played a full season in the last two. Mm-hmm. One injury-related, one off-the-field related. Mm. We're going to have to talk to him about that.
Yep.
If we get him in a room, we're going to have a conversation about what happened that night. Limited separator prior to the catch. Separation comes at the point.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're a route demon.
No, we're not.
You know? I question the speed at the next level. Honestly, I didn't give a player comp here, but you know who he reminds me a lot of? My man that also came from Lawrence Cager. Reminds me a lot of Lawrence Cager's career from a standpoint of 3 years from now, if I read a headline that the New York Giants are trying Colby Young out at tight end, I won't be surprised.
That's fair.
My man Lawrence is still in the league, right? Playing tight end?
I believe so, yes.
Playing tight end in specials?
I believe.
I don't know if Colby's going to have a career running down on kickoff, though.
Is he on the Dolphins?
He's with the Commanders.
Okay.
And what's he playing?
Tight end.
Tight end, yeah.
He's
tight end.
That's what I'm saying. I think we could see something like that happening.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's more apropos to actually happen nowadays than we need you to go from quarterback to tight end. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're telling me to continue making league minimum? I have to move closer to the ball? Okay, I'll figure that out. So there's that. Dylan Bell, multi-position versatile at the Z and slot, but will likely do most of his work inside on the NFL level. Like, we're going to get labeled as this gadget player who can do a lot of things, but in reality, I think in the next level, if there are three receivers, we ain't lining up outside. Yeah. If we're in duo, we ain't lining up outside.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're an X or a Z.
No, I think his comp is like a watered down Deebo Samuel, because Deebo Samuel very rarely gets X treatment now on the, or when he was on the 49ers and now with the Commanders. Like, it varies often. Like, okay, you're the Z, or you're our slot guy, or you're out of the backfield doing a toss sweep.
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing about his draft stock is he's got tremendous special teams capabilities. Like, we talked about the return specialists nowadays in the league. They're built like he is.
Mm-hmm.
All the return specialists are 6 foot, 210. They're all running backs, DB, like nickels that can actually move, you know what I mean, but are mm-hmm. thick and got good running instincts.
Yeah.
I think he could do something like that. Honestly, kind of looks a lot like Kyaris Jackson from a physical standpoint.
Dylan feels thicker.
Yeah, I'd say Dylan's a little thicker.
We don't weigh that much thicker, do we? We're 210. How much did Kyaris weigh at the combine? Like 196?
Maybe.
But so we got 14 pounds. That's a lot on a skill player, so you're probably right. But same role for me. Here's my note, and this is why he will be drafted. There's no doubt about it. The league has plenty of room for a 6 foot, 210-pound player that runs 4.4.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Which is what he's going to go do. Mm-hmm. He's going to go run 4.43.
And he's proven that he can play multiple positions.
Kyaris Jackson was 196 at the combine. Ran a 4.5, by the way. 4.55. So
yeah, Dylan will be thicker and faster. But I mentioned Kyaris because Kyaris has had a career so far on specials.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 100%. That's what he's playing.
I wouldn't call him a refined route runner, Dylan. Also, you can't talk about Dylan Bell in a draft prospect segment without mentioning the fact that he led the country, perhaps, in drops in 2024. But we cleaned it up in 25.
Yeah, it was outside of 1 year, it was a non-issue. It was a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
His hands were not an issue this year, and they certainly weren't an issue in the 2023 season.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we will have an uploaded video from you guys live from the car. Got a little Hyundai Sonata.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. So we'll be in that, whipping our way to the combine up there in Indianapolis, and then we'll be back here inside the studio come Monday night for you guys. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, like, subscribe, rate, review on your way out. I love you. We'll see you next time.